This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon. I'm Jason Kong here, as always, with Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care. Mary, how are you doing today?
Good. We took a little break, a little snooze, and we're back. And I'm excited to be back. And after a couple of weeks off, I had vacation and my birthday and went to the beach. And here we are.
Who approved this? Who approved you having any sort of time off?
I don't know who let me do this.
No one asked me. That's for sure.
I know.
No, you do so much, Mary, that you definitely deserve some respite. And that's always a theme on Aging Matters, that we need our respite, especially when we are in a caregiving role. So I'm glad you took some time off
and
recharged those batteries, because that's always necessary.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get into the topic at hand, and we're going to be talking about I don't think we've ever discussed this on the show before, so I'm really excited. We're going to be talking about the ideas sort of surrounding preserving your family legacy through photos, and we are very pleased to have on the show with us today Hale Shoa. She is the founder and CEO of Picturely. Hale, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason and Mary. It's wonderful to be here.
I really love, I've researched what you do, and I'm so excited for you to tell everybody on the show what you do. I'm very passionate about it after reading everything about you all. So can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, and also what inspired you to start Picturely?
Yeah, I'm Iranian, and I was about 8 or 9 years old when the Iranian Revolution happened, and my family found themselves in the middle of it, and they were contemplating whether to leave the country or stay, because the country had gone through some rough patches in their history. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they realized, like, there's no going back with this, with what's happening. And so they essentially had to leave the country very quickly and weren't really able to bring much with them except the photo albums.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and thank God, because I don't really have a lot of memory from my childhood. Mm-hmm. I know it's because of probably some traumatic things that I witnessed. Mm-hmm. And so it was really cathartic for me to start looking through those albums in my mid-20s and start asking questions about who those characters were. And I was working in advertising, and I had access to really good high-end scanners, and I was able to start scanning my own family legacy and emailing them to my family at large, who are right now in 4 different continents.
Wow.
And to start to get some of the information, and it was incredible, like the feedback that I got, and how it just brought everyone together, even though we are in 4 continents. It was really incredible.
Wow. That is a really powerful story. So tell us a little bit about Picturely. How does Picturely help families and individuals preserve your story and your legacy?
Well, you know, I really believe that our family story is hidden in all the photos that we have. And unfortunately, it becomes such an overwhelming take to be able to go through everything, whether it's just the amount of things that we have or the state that they're in, it just becomes so overwhelming. So I sort of have worked on creating this workflow where our clients don't really even need to get that involved. We start every project with a family tree. Mm. We get everyone's information, their birthdays, when they were married, when they were engaged, you know, dates of passing. And we create a chart. We create a family chart for every client. And we basically put that chart up in every room in our studio. And it sort of goes along with everything that we do. So when we amass the client's collection, we basically organize everything chronologically, and I'm talking about the items that are analog, the things that we can touch and feel. So we organize everything chronologically, and as we're organizing it, we curate it, because even back then, there's a lot of blurry shots, there's scenery shots that people don't really need to scan. So we separate the ones that really tell the family story from the things that don't really matter. We don't throw anything away, but we separate those for scanning purposes. And when we scan everything, we make sure everything is renamed and redated, so the family collection is sortable and searchable. And we apply the same methodology to the digital collection as well. Because as you both know, everyone has a camera, a pretty good one, in their hand. And we're all photographers and videographers now. Except we don't take the time to go through and clean it up. And that's what happens, you know. So we can amass the digital from all sorts of cloud services and old computers and SD cards and DVDs and CDs and collect everything and make one large collection from the digital files as well.
Wow, that's amazing. So I have a crazy question. Have you gotten floppy disks and like VHSs and having to convert any of those? Have you gotten some crazy things that people hand to you and you're like, help me?
Yeah, we actually, yes. In my second client, I started Picturely in 2016. And my second client had photographs and memories from 1839 to now.
Wow.
And she actually stole my client. So that client actually spun me into the world of learning about photographic history, because I had no idea what a daguerreotype is, or what an amber type is, or what a tintype is. And those are all things from the 1800s. And she had a representation from everything. And she had the VHSs, and she had the film reels, and she had the slides. She had everything. She had the negatives. It was really incredible. And, you know, most families do have slides and negatives. And negatives and slides are my absolute favorite things to scan, because they're the original form of, and they keep their structure. You know, if they haven't been, if there's no water damage, they are so amazing to scan. We just scanned a bunch of things from 1940s slides. And it's like as if you took the, yesterday. I mean, you can see like the pores on people's faces. It's such a great format.
That is amazing. So in the work that you do, what role do you find that photographs and other visual media play in telling someone's story?
You know, the pictures tell the story themselves. Once everything is in chronological order, it's so easy to be able to just go through things and say, oh my God, that is my aunt's sister. And then the stories come out. And so, you know, we encourage the families to, you know, sign up for us to be able to do a legacy film, which doesn't have to be a huge production. I mean, it can be. But, you know, it requires a couple of cameras and a little computer in front of them. And as they're telling the stories, we record them telling the stories. And we can cut in all the photos that they're talking about so they can really have that amassed. And, you know, and the other thing is they can do that with their phones. You know, they can sit down and talk to the elders in their family or even themselves and record who those people were. Perhaps in their college years, you know, in the 60s, 70s, or even, you know, last year. Like, tell me about this travel vacation that you guys went on. I find that families are more willing to tell stories when the memories are from a little further back. You know, if something happened this year, it's like, oh, yeah, we went to Thailand. It was great. You know, but if they went to Thailand, you know, in 2008, they want to talk about that a little bit more, you know, because some time has passed and it's becoming something that you want to memorialize a little bit more.
Yeah, I think we all have sentiments like that. We're speaking with Hale Shoa. She is founder and CEO of Picturely, and Picturely is a photo organization outlet that specializes in curation and archiving and creating digital studios to help declutter and, you know, make those photo messes that we all seem to have that are buried throughout our homes, make that a sortable digital library. We're going to continue our conversation with her right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News Talk Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com with your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News Talk Traffic. I am Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. Our guest with us today is Hale Shoa. She is founder and CEO of Picturely, and we're talking about preserving our family legacies through photos, memories, and stories. And Picturely is a company that helps organize photos and curate them and archiving and making them a sortable digital library. And Mary, I think we all can identify with important images or you know, little keepsakes that, yeah, we think, man, it would be great to have this digitized and preserved in a way that you know, the elements can't quite get to it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's my mom, the last time she moved, she was like pulling all this stuff out of a cabinet, and it was like, I'm not joking, probably 100 photo albums. And I'm like, oh no, what are we, where are you going to put those? What are you doing with those? She's like, well, I'm going to take them all out of these plastic sleeves and just give you guys piles of photos. And I was like, please, let's not take them out of those things. And she's like, well, it'll be easier. Then you're not storing like 100 photo albums. And I was like, oh man, but then we have 100,000 loose photos hanging around. So I should probably work with you all to get that under control. But anyway, I'm curious, Hale, in your experience, are there is there any hesitation? I can imagine the people that come to you first and hire you all to help them are right out of the gate, like super excited, but maybe engaging others in the process. Or do you find it, that there's any hesitation in sharing stories sometimes?
Yeah, you know, luckily when we get a client, they're very excited to work with us. But I have found in working with our clients that the hesitation, and this comes up a lot, but the hesitation comes in, there's a, you know, untimely death in the family, whether it's an ex or late husband or wife or even a parent, you know, if the parent passed, you know, in an untimely manner, or a child, God forbid, a child is, that's the absolute worst. So those are the things that give us a little bit of hiccups in the process, because we have to allow the space for our clients to really be able to gather them, their emotions and their thoughts. So, and, you know, I've had a lot of training. I'm also a life coach. So I've had a lot of training in terms of, understanding that space and being able to create it for my clients. But the second thing that comes up is if a family, if like half the family isn't talking to the other half. So a lot of people are in your position where they amass 100 photo albums from their mother, whether living or have passed, and half the siblings don't really care and they want to throw everything out. And the other half are like, what are you talking about? We have to do this. So it becomes about who's going to pay for it, and, you know, and, you know, how they're going to be able to share it. So and of course, you know, this process isn't it's not cheap, because it takes a long time. We do things really properly. Our files are really high res, and you do it once. You do it well, you do it once, and you're good. So we provide payment plans for our clients. So that's never an issue. But it's really a matter of the families agreeing to do this, and if they want to involve the families in the decision-making process.
It's really helpful. I can imagine with the thought of sharing grief or, you know, looking through photos and feeling that grief again, it can sometimes be difficult or uncomfortable. Do you all work with people? How do you encourage people to be authentic and honest in sharing their stories, even if it is difficult or uncomfortable? I can imagine going through memory sometimes can spur both happy feelings and also that grief as well.
Luckily, I've never had to really encourage authenticity. Mm-hmm. I think it just comes out. In fact, most times I have to sort of stop the clients from telling the story right away because we have a process and we just need to make sure we understand their goal before we get into the story. But they're so excited that they're like, but this is my great grandmother. And she was the first person to have gotten a PhD from University of Kentucky. And, you know, and then it's like, of course I want to know that story. And it's incredible. But I just want to know how we should do this process with you right now. I encourage so many of my clients to get the elders involved. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a client, there's two sisters. They lost their mom. They're both in their early 50s. And their mom's sister is still with us in Canada. And she was just over the moon when I told her, like, let's FaceTime her and ask her about some of these people. Because she's like, I don't know who these are, but I know they look like us. Just don't know who they are. So the aunt was like, just like, oh, my God, this was our great-grandmother's sister. And, you know, it was just, it's really great. It's really, I hope that most people still have their elders to be able to engage them in understanding who the characters are in their memories.
When you are working on a project, I can imagine there is a ton of organizing. This just the thought of my mom and the amount of photos she has, I hope she's not listening, it causes me anxiety thinking about it. How do you address the challenge of organizing and trying to keep people on track and maintaining the digital archives and all of that over time? Do you have like a project plan you put in place, or how do you go about starting a project and kind of keeping things organized?
That's a really good question. We encourage all of our clients to not take anything out of albums because those albums are organized. They have a chronology to them. It's either thematic or it was a moment in time. So for your mom to take all those photos out of those albums, you're going to lose that chronology that she had in taking those photos and putting them in albums. Rarely do we find that albums are not in some type of order. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that someone in your family actually sits with your mom and writes those notes in each album before you take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So you make sure that they are with. So that's what we do when we work with our clients. We go through several albums and we ask them about, you know, who's in the albums and what the dates are, so that we can put the faces to the dates. So, of course, we start every project with the family tree, but we need to know what did they look like when they were 10?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did they look like when they were a teenager? You know, hopefully we don't get any twins, identical ones, because those are the hardest. But, you know, there's a lot of clues in photos, whether it's hairstyle or cars or, you know, just different, like, furniture and wallpapers from the 70s. And the photos themselves, like the little square photos, are mainly from the 50s and 60s. From the late 60s through 70s, we start seeing the larger square photos, things like that, that we use those as clues in terms of how we organize. But when we amass a collection, and we specialize in large collections in our studio, we put like for like together. What does that mean? That means we put all the albums that are slide-ins together, all the albums that are sticky albums, the magnetics, that unfortunately are coming back into, I'm seeing a lot of that on social media, and I just hope whoever's listening to this, please do not buy those sticky albums. They will eat your photos in time. That they just, the acid in the glue will absolutely destroy all of your photographs. So we put those together, we put the VHSs together, we put the slides together. We do that so we know what we have, mm-hmm. and then that way we can kind of assess the project and also provide a project plan. We provide a detailed photo management plan to all of our clients so they know what they have and we know what they have, And so that we know what we're going to start with first and prioritize the beast that has come in, because every project is a bit of a beast. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how we approach it. And, you know, if you want to take this on your own, you know, I have composed a workflow that you'll be able to receive if you sign up for our mailing list, that will kind of tell you what we do first so that you can follow that plan.
Well, any help that we can get in organizing these, because I mean, these collections, as you've alluded to, can get so big. So yes, these are all great tips. We're speaking with Hale Shoa. She is founder and CEO of Picturely, and she's helping us with some tips and discussion on preserving our family legacies through photos and memories and stories and digitizing them. We're going to continue our conversation with her right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one, with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. If you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to head online to transitionslifecare.org, transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We are speaking today with Hale Shoa. She is founder and CEO of Picturely, and we're talking all about how we can preserve mm-hmm. family memories and photos. And Mary, I know we want to get into a discussion here on how this is evolving, because, you know, I look back on some of these photo albums that my parents had, and, you know, there's pictures in there. But then I look through, like, my wife's phone catalog of photos, and there's just, like, thousands upon thousands of, you know, semi-identical pictures of all the kids. So
yeah.
I can't imagine just how this will change 20 or 30 years from now.
You know, that's funny. I immediately brought up my phone when you said that to see how many photos I have. I have over 10,000 photos in my phone and almost 500 videos. Now, granted, probably about 3/4 of those are dogs. So, and they probably all look the same. Dog on couch, dog on car, dog in car, dog sleeping, all the things. But I think it's a great point to bring up. How do you, Hale, how do you see technology shaping or changing preserving stories and, or, you know, even shaping the way that we're capturing stories and the tools that we use?
I love that question, because I love and hate technology. You know, of course, technology has made us all a photographer and a videographer. Without the device in our hands, we wouldn't be able to take 7,500 dog photos on every iteration, because mm-hmm. we would never spend the money on film to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it has made us a little lazy. It's made us overwhelmed, and there's so many different sort of techie things out there that it's hard to decipher. Do I want to be in Google Photos? Do I want to be in Apple Photos? What is Amazon Photos about? What if I don't want anybody to have access to my stuff? You know, there's so much out there and so overwhelming. But, I mean, I own a technology company. Without technology, we would never be able to do what we do. But at the same time, the tech in our hands and the tech in our lives has really overwhelmed us, mm-hmm. which is why the third leg of my business is the design aspect. And, you know, we do a lot of photo books for our families, because it's so hard to go through 2,000 photos in a year. I mean, how do you even digest that? Where do you see that? You know, how do you even enjoy that unless someone goes through it and curates it? Or you can curate it, and they make photo books out of it. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of families that do annual photo books and travel books and things like that. Because without the tangible, it's really hard to enjoy and digest it.
Love the idea of a yearly photo book. You know, maybe then I wouldn't have 10,000 photos on my phone and I could actually look at them and look back at them, which would be nice. Why do you think all of this is so important for people preserving their stories for future generations? You know, I find it important, children down the line and the next generation. Why do you find this so important, and the conversations that you have with your families that you work with, the people you work with, why do they find it so important to preserve these stories?
I think that it is a part of human nature. Mm. I think as humans, we want to be able to leave a legacy. We all do, mm-hmm. even those who don't have children. My client who gave me those photos from the 1830s to now, she has no kids. Mm. She has a niece and a nephew. They're sort of young right now, and she knows that they may not care at the moment, but she wanted to invest in making sure to preserve her family story and history. So, and she's working with her cousins, her extended family to do this, because she really wants to leave that for all their kids as well. And I just think that's human nature. You know, there's not a single person. You know, if you find someone who's in their 70s or older, you sit with them, you just tell them to tell you something, you know, tell me a happy memory from your childhood. They will all sit there and tell you a very long story, guaranteed. You know, and, you know, laced in there will be some traumatic stuff. I mean, my dad is 97, and he still remembers exactly what happened to him in eighth grade when that teacher did blah, 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 and that story still comes up. And we're like, Dad, it's like 90 years ago. I think we can move on from that. And he's like, no, but you don't understand. And, you know, and so, and, you know, there's a lot of that as well. But, you know, it's part of who we are. We want to be able to make sure that our kids and our family and just whoever comes after us knows the legacy that we are and that we are leaving.
That is beautiful. Everyone does want a legacy. I have to ask, is there a touching story or an impactful story that you've encountered in doing everything that you do with Picturely or anything that has led to like a positive outcome or bringing a family together that you can share?
How much time do we have?
I knew you had plenty.
So one of my earlier clients, he's an African-American. And he's an African-American historian. And his lineage comes from the North. So he had a ton of photos and letters from the 1800s, which is really, really rare for African-Americans. Mm-hmm. And so we started with the letters. We scanned all the letters. And then we went on to the photographs. And he decided to actually donate the letters to the Schoenberg Institute in Washington. And wow. 3 weeks later, the Schoenberg Institute calls him and says, you're not going to believe this. Your grandfather had another family who he wrote letters to, and they donated those letters to us as well.
Wow. Wow.
And so it was just like, and because he was you know, it wasn't like his feelings weren't hurt or anything. He's a historian. We just found that really fascinating. So because our scans were so high res, they were able to compare our scans with the other letters and do a whole analysis and find out that it's the same person.
Wow.
And it was just so incredible that he was able to figure out a whole other side to his family. Through these letters.
That is amazing.
I mean, it's just wild. You know, so many stories. We had another family whose collection we just finished. It was a Japanese family. And we were, you know, they amassed so much stuff from the parents. And we're going through things and we're looking at some yearbooks. We get yearbooks in pretty much all of our collections. We got yearbooks from the 40s, which I'd never seen before. Most of the yearbooks that we get are from the 60s forward. And I'm looking through these yearbooks. I'm like, thinking, like, how come all the kids in here are Japanese? and all the teachers are Caucasian. And, you know, 3 seconds later, I'm like, oh, my God, this is the camps. There were the internment camps in California. Wow. And, you know, it was so fascinating for us to be able to find the family members, because we don't scan the entire yearbooks. We just scan the front and any pages that the family members are in, or if they've written something in there, we scan that. And, you know, I was sending some pictures to the family, and they did not know half the stories that were in those yearbooks. And, like, actually the joy that those kids had. Like, they were all writing each other such lovely notes to each other, mm-hmm. you know. And I think there's just, you know, sometimes we fill in stories of sadness when the human experience is definitely mired in trauma, because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But it's also filled in with joy. Even in the face of being in an internment camp, these kids were writing each other such amazing, incredible, positive notes. That it's just so incredible.
Ale, thank you so much for sharing that. If folks are interested in learning more about Picturely, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, please visit picturelifecurated.com, and you can sign up for the 7-step guide to archiving your photos. You can get in contact with me, and I'll also provide this for the show notes. But also, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We do a lot of sort of good-to-know content, and yeah.
Awesome. She is Ale Shoa, founder and CEO of Picturely. Ale, thank you so much for your time today. This was a really fascinating discussion.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It was our pleasure. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News, Talk, Traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas, of course, representing Transitions Life Care, and we're going to be talking about communication tips in focusing on advocating for respite. Mm-hmm. And Mary, this is something that is so, so important, and we say this all the time, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's also very, very hard for people to do, because, you know, anyone who's been involved in any part of a caregiving journey knows the stress that is put on the caregiver. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it's just so hard to take a step back when you are focused on the person who needs care. Mm-hmm. You need some care as well, and you need respite mm-hmm. in order to be at your best.
Respite is rest, and you can't. You have to be strong yourself to be able to care for others, and without that, you'll get run down, and it can be very hard on you. But it's such a hard conversation to have. It's something that's not easy. I was talking to my dad about it actually yesterday. I was over at his house, and we were talking about my grandfather and the importance of taking a break. And he's just started a rotation with my aunt, and they trade off weekends on doing the groceries. And I think that alone has been monumental in providing him a little bit of respite. But beyond that, I think I also had a conversation with a friend who's a caregiver, and she's really struggling with this as well. And so I wanted to talk about it on the show, about communication and advocating for yourself. You need a break. And that conversation's not always easy for the person that you're taking care of as well. And I think there's a lot of guilt. And people feel guilty taking a break, but you have to think inward first, and your feelings and what you're feeling and the exhaustion, and it is valid, and it is not a selfish thing to do. And I think a lot of people feel selfish taking a break when they're taking care of somebody else, and that's a hard feeling to take on. So there are some tips that I wanted to provide, and some I've done some research on this and talking with my dad and others, and wanted to share them with you all as well. But first, prepare your conversation with intention. Why do you want respite? Is it you time? Is it you need to take a rest? Your work is busy as well, or you may have children. You know, the sandwich generation of caregivers is growing pretty rapidly, and you may need to go to more soccer games or whatever it may be. Do you need to hire extra help? That's something that's really important in a conversation that was really valuable for my dad and talking to my grandfather about either assisted living or we need to hire a nurse to help out. So those are very tough conversations, but it's good to prepare for those in advance with intention. Research your options first. Find out what's practical. If private duty is something that you're taking on, look at cost and something. And schedules and things like that. And how will we benefit from you taking a break is an important part of the conversation. We will all benefit from you taking a break and being able to share why. And pre-planning will really help guide that conversation. And I think it's something that's really important. I know Jason and I were just talking about even pre-planning for the show. You know, we talk, it's hard to have conversations sometimes. So it's always important to pre-plan. Second, label your feelings. Put your feelings into words. Write them down. Read them. See them. Understand them. I take time to journal every night, and it's something I didn't do before, but writing down my feelings and going back and looking at them is something that has really helped me validate how I feel every day. And it helps me advocate for myself in other situations. So label your feelings, put them into words, read them, go back and read them. If you've had a hard day, go back and read a couple of days prior when it was good and realize that it always isn't that way. So putting out your feelings and seeing them and understanding them will help you advocate for yourself. Then pick a time to talk. Don't do it when everyone is alert and in the height of something, or you know, right before you're doing an important caregiving task. Make sure that everyone is calm and rational. No one's overwhelmed. We're not right, you know, going to bed where everyone's a little bit drowsy. Make sure that everyone's awake. So make sure you pick the right time. You don't want to be hangry. You don't want your loved one to be hangry. I know that's not. I can't be hangry and have a good conversation. So just pick the right time to talk and really think about it and plan it out. And following positive communication is always key. Refer to your feelings that you wrote down, why you're feeling this way. Use I statements to share how you feel instead of you statements that place blame on your loved one. You is a hard thing for someone to hear. Instead of saying, I feel this way, I am tired, and I need a break, I need to take a nap, whatever it may be. Speak very soothingly. Listen actively, and listening is a key part of this conversation, and hear the feedback that you're getting from your loved one. Take pauses. A lot of the times, if you're dealing with someone that may have a little bit of cognitive decline, that's something that's very important, to take pauses and listen and really get the active feedback. Then you want to share positive outcomes. Like I said earlier, what will benefit for this time to yourself? What will benefit your loved one for you taking this time? What will they gain? You'll be in a better mood, or I can cook better dinner if you give me a little more time to go grocery shopping. Or, you know, there's a lot of benefits of you taking rest and being more fully available when you are there, if you're not as tired or you're not as stressed, or, you know, all of these things kind of combine into one. And it's important that you take rest for yourself and take this respite care. And then finally, create a care plan. You know, if it involves, like I said with my grandfather, there was nursing aides that we have. If it's working with an adult day facility, there's some great adult daycares and day facilities around that provide care during the day and activities during the day. You can drop them off and pick them up. There are a lot of great options around us in this area. And if you're on hospice, like Leah said and earlier in the show,
it's part of the hospice benefit. So you can talk to your social worker and set up the right volunteer for you. If it's you need someone to come into your house and just give you a break while you do grocery shopping, you can meet with your hospice social worker and discuss all the things that you need, and they'll be able to put someone in place to help you get a little bit of respite. They also have a respite stay where you can take your loved one to a facility and have a longer stay respite as well as part of the hospice benefit. It's all provided as part of the benefit. So if you have a vacation that you need to go on and get away for a few days, that's a great option if you're on hospice. Also, if you're on palliative care, you can talk to your team there and they can help you find the right fit as well. But respite is so important, and I think that people don't realize it until they're too tired and they are too worn down, and it is very heavy, and you don't want to feel that way and get to that point. So taking these breaks earlier and being able to have these conversations and communicating and advocating for yourself as a caregiver is so important. And you should not take on the guilt of this, and put those feelings down into words, validate them, advocate for yourself, and really get the rest you need as a caregiver.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And it's especially something to focus on early on in a caregiving journey, because I think just naturally, we have a lot of energy at that point. And also, you know, when you're speaking with family members and they're asking how you and your loved one are, your natural response is going to be, hey, we're doing okay. You know, we're getting by. We're getting through this. We're still learning. And you may be kind of conditioning your mind to think, well, you know, we got this. Everything's okay. But as you said, you don't want to reach that point where you're overwhelmed and it's become too late.
Right.
And then everyone's going to be looking at you like, well, hey, what's going on here? You know, you've been telling us everything's okay, and now that's not the case. So maybe set those expectations that, hey, you know, I'm okay now, but maybe in a few weeks I may need some help.
That's a great point. You know, that kind of happened in our situation with my grandfather. My grandmother died, and we were all right there, you know, and I think this happens with many others as well. When someone passes and their spouse is still here, everyone surrounds them, and everybody was around, and everybody was helping. The grandkids were visiting, you know, cousins, family members from out of state. Everyone was there and helping, and it's also happens at holidays. You see it quite often around holidays when caregivers are, there's a lot of people around, and Christmas is going on, or Hanukkah, whatever it may be. You know, everyone is there, and then it's a couple months later when you start to feel this, and not everyone is there anymore, and it's down to the main caregivers, and then that's when this is so important. And I think that it can go for a while before you realize how important it is, so just think about these things and advocate for yourself and have those conversations so you can have respite as well.
Yeah, these are wonderful tips, and I think there's even some application outside of advocating for yourself for respite. There's probably a lot of applications for a variety of relationships. Those are wonderful tips. So again, if you missed any part of this segment, you can go online to WPTF.com, click on the podcast button. From there, find Aging Matters, and you can go back and listen to this episode. Maybe you want to share this segment with someone who's in a caregiving situation. So that's a wonderful opportunity for you. WPTF.com, click on the podcast button and find Aging Matters there. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on WPTF News Talk Traffic.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF AM 680 and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.